Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Deuce and Mo coming to hang out for their weekly visit here with us. Deuce and Mo, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
And we are all good, baby. Where are you leaning here now that the series is tied 2-2? Where are you leaning here with the Suns of the Bucks, Mo?
For me, I was sitting on a fence this morning, and I'm still on that fence.
Get off the fence, Mo.
I know.
It's not comfy to sit on a fence, dude.
But if you can, you can sit there until you don't need to sit there anymore. And for me, it's hard to not be a prisoner of the moment because we've seen the Bucks do this now in every single series, and they found a way. Find it a way. So don't you kind of believe they're going to find a way? But then they make you not trust them when they aren't playing at home, when things aren't going well for them, the fight in the Suns. It's really hard to pick. I'm sitting.
Wow. Coward. Never took Morgan Reagan for a coward. I knew she was the queen of patience, but I never thought she was she'd be a coward and just sit on the fence, not pick a winner. That's okay, Mo. I don't pick winners anyways. Wow.
Look at that belt.
I'm a coward and I own it because, damn it, I'm a winner.
Yes, you are.
Get out of here. That's no AEW title, so get that out of here.
Deuce?
I'm leaning toward the Bucks, too. I said Bucks in six before the series. I'm worried about Chris Paul. This is a few games now where the adjustment was made. They put Drew Holiday on him, and look, Drew Holiday looks lost offensively right now. But his defense has been unbelievable. Defending the pick and rolls, being irritated and crisp for Chris Paul. Chris Paul had 5 turnovers again last night. 15 in the last 3 games. And, you know, I'm not trying to dump on Chris Paul. I just didn't think Paul played well yesterday. I thought he over-dribbled. His decision-making wasn't great, especially when Booker wasn't in the game. And if we're going to praise the guy when, you know, he's having unbelievable games and closeout games, we do have to be critical and be fair. Like, he didn't play well last night. That game was Devin Booker hitting some very difficult shots with little separation, and he got it going. No one else was really able to step up. Now, I do anticipate it's going to be a little more intense, more competitive back in Phoenix, though.
Yeah, Deuce, we all know what's really going on with Chris Paul. He's hurt. He's hurt. He's obviously hurt.
He's being sarcastic.
I mean, I'm sure he's banged up a little bit, but, like, yes. I mean,
Wait, whoa, Kenny, I shook my head yes, like, yeah, Kenny's right. Why are you being sarcastic? I mean, literally.
Ooh, hurt, man.
I mean, come on, he's 36 years old, he's been dealing with these injuries. He's younger than you, probably. And on top of that, though, we've seen postseason after postseason for Chris Paul get hurt and then be sidelined. So the fact that he's playing through and can play through playing through whatever injuries he might be dealing with,
honestly, his hands could be sore from the over dribbling. I mean,
Morgan, was he hurt in game one?
Dude, what about when he was talking about his wrist and the ligaments and everything? And we're not hearing things. We're not hearing things, Kenny. Come on, you know this. As a competitor, you're not going to give away every single torn ligament that's going on in your body. And then championship or finals after finals game, having to play through it at a very high level. And I will say this, and I've said this 100 times now, so I feel weird saying it again. But last night, if you look at Chris Paul's dribbling, he wasn't dribbling with authority, right? It was just a very soft, like, crossover. That's why it was so easy for guys to pick it and do what they wanted with it. It's just not a hard dribble. And I don't think it went to laziness, because it's not like he's going to get in the finals and all of a sudden be lazy, but I think it went to just like the fatigue factor. The injury is kind of riding him a little bit.
The fatigue is the issue for sure, but was he hurt in game one when he had 36 points and nobody was talking about he was hurting in? Now, when he's not producing, is he hurt? I'm sure Giannis isn't 100%. But he found a way to fight through fatigue and everything else to make one of the greatest plays of all time.
Kenny, you can re-aggravate injuries even after a game. You could fight through stomach. You could be banged up a little bit. I do give a lot of credit to Holiday and the Bucks defense. The Bucks able to play defense.
That's where I'm putting the onus on. They're wearing them down with body blows. Even with all that, I expect Chris Paul to play well in game five. I think he played bad in game four. He's going to come back, have maybe about 25 and 12 assists in game five. Is that enough to win? I don't know. But we ain't going to be talking about he's hurt if he has 25 and 12. I know that.
I'm not excusing anything. I'm not acting like he's hurt. That's why he played like crap. He played like crap. But, hey, guys, also, we can mention this. For example, Drew Holiday, if the Bucks didn't win today, we would be talking about how crappy Drew Holiday played offensively and how he did not contribute anything. But because they won, because they won, we get to talk about how wonderful his defense was, which any real hooper would talk about that anyway. But you know, at the end of the day, the narrative in the media would still be like, well, he's not adding anything. Look, and Chris Middleton's getting 40, and they, you know, got Drew Holiday to do so much more offensively, even though he did what he needed to do defensively.
Well, guys, just quick correction. It's Rue Holiday. Okay. There's no J. He's 4 of 20. There's no J with Rue Holiday at this point. Four for 20, and this is not his first 4 for 20 in a series. So, yeah, but I think part of it with Holiday is that literally – I think he's exhausted from playing so much defense. He's got to deal with Paul. Then in the fourth quarter, you got Devin Booker, who had 38 points through three quarters. And Budenholzer goes, all right, we got to make an adjustment. This guy's cooking us right now. Tucker's doing everything, but he's found him. We're going to put Holiday on him. And what did Holiday do? He played good defense, and Booker was unable to get it going in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying, Morgan, because the reality is they need another guy besides Giannis to do his thing. And they got one from Middleton. Middleton was really good. He was big in the fourth quarter with 14 points. But we know what Middleton's done on the road, and it's a different guy. He'll still get you points, but he'll shoot like 40% from the field, 30% from three. They need Middleton to show up on the road.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You two are testy today. You're all and let me bring something up about Drew Holiday, because Morgan emphatically told me I was wrong and that we wouldn't be talking about Drew Holiday's defense had they won. He shot like hell in game two when they lost, and I feel like we were still talking about what he contributes is on the defensive end. He has to be efficient. He doesn't have to be a big time. He doesn't have to drop 40 like Chris Middleton did, but he has to be more efficient with the shots that he gets. And we said after game two, he's not going to be a 20 shot in a game guy. Of course, he took 20 shots last night.
Some bad shots.
But what was the game in the middle between 2 and 4? That was his best offensive game so far this.
He had some big shots in game three.
And that happened to be the game where everybody else was shooting well also. So I agree with you in that he has to find something. But Chris Middleton is the guy. Kendrick Perkins calls Chris Middleton the closer of this team. He's the guy who has to sit with – he's the one who has to ride side-by-side with Giannis, just as Devin Booker has to ride side-by-side with Chris Paul. And to me, the Bucks' chances to win this series hinge on what version of Chris Middleton you get.
I definitely agree with that to an extent, but I also believe with Drew Holiday, the way that we talk about this man, especially during the regular season, especially those 11 regular season games that Giannis was not playing, what he added to that team on both ends of the floor was like, oh, this is who he can be. Maybe the Bucks are better without Giannis in the offense. It was, again, so weird that people were saying things like that. But for Drew Holiday, we can't keep having these conversations. Is he underrated? Is he overrated? Because if he is, he needs to do more on both sides of the basketball. And if you just want him to be a defensive player, that's great. Then you need Chris Middleton to be that number one and a half guy, right? And you're just not getting that consistently from him. Sometimes you're getting these subpar kind of nights from him, and other nights you're getting these 40-point finals games from him.
It's weird. We haven't seen a lot this season of those three guys playing at a very high level offensively at the same time.
I think one of the things is Drew Holiday is kind of miscast as being like your third best player. I like his game. I think he can play. But on a championship team, you probably need him to be like your fourth best player. They're missing a score, you know, or somebody that's equal. You know what I mean? Maybe not definitively better than Drew Holiday, but somebody that's about the same, where if he's off, he can still focus on the D and you're not losing any scoring because you got this other guy, whether it's, I don't know, I don't think he's this good, but maybe somebody like a DiVincenzo is that type of guy. But, I mean, they're at the point now, though, through all this, they really, I just feel like they need one good game out of Drew Holiday, like one really good game out of Drew Holiday, and Middleton and Giannis might do the rest from there. Because I think, I agree with you, I talked about it earlier, Deuce, Middleton's a different guy on the road. You need him to be way more efficient. And he don't have to score 40, but you're going to need a big game from him at least one time in Phoenix. I think Giannis is going to do what he does. If Drew Holiday can give you just one game, I think those other two are the rest to be able to close this thing out. But it's a big if.
Where would you rank Giannis's block all time in terms of great plays that you've seen?
I mean, in the finals, you think of course, LeBron chase down in game 7. I think of Ray Allen's big shot for Miami against San Antonio comes to mind in that corner. But, I mean, it's up there. Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy how hard a guy like Giannis plays. Like we have not seen a body like his in the NBA to do what he's able to do. And that, it was unbelievable. And then, like, what was even crazier is, like, he had the steal on Chris Paul, too. Poked that ball away. He made some monster plays. After, to me, it was like a little bit of a slow start. He seemed a little timid, and maybe it was because of the Suns' defense throwing some different things at him. But he turned it on late. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of the great plays you'll ever see. Just thinking about close game, pivotal moment. You're at home. You've got to win this game. You go down 3-1, it's over. We're getting the shovels out and burying the Bucks. It was monster.
What I love is that we're not just talking about it being this hustle play, right? This great recovery. It was this great defensive possession where he stunted the ball handler in this pick and roll situation and recovered quickly back to his man, who, by the way, is DeAndre Ayton, has been dominant in this postseason, recovered back, but his timing was so perfect, how he jumped, when he jumped, hands straight up, nothing coming down forward, then anyone could even question that it was a foul. It was just such a beautiful defensive play by Giannis from start to finish that made it even more beautiful to me that he finished it off with a perfect block.
The other play that I loved from him was on the Holiday no call with Booker, clearly fouled him for a sixth foul. They didn't call it. Giannis cleaned up the miss. He just plays so hard. And I know he's not a perfect player, and we can be hard on him because of the free throw shooting and the other stuff. When your best player plays that hard, I mean, that is contagious. Those plays right there, from the crowd getting into it to the teammates, they're going to want to come to play. And you saw that Bucks defense play pretty well, and it kept them in the game. Those extra effort plays with 17 offensive rebounds, a ton of second chance points again. Connaughton's coming in and giving you 9 rebounds. Those are big-time plays, and to me, it all starts with Giannis.
The other thing that I love about Giannis, and that's my guy. That's my guy, Giannis, all right? That's my boy. Is he's not afraid Like, he fails, he misses free throws. He'll airball threes, he'll airball free throws. And if the opportunity presents itself, he'll go right back to the line. He'll shoot another three. And so I don't want him to take threes. I think Coach Bud needs to put the kibosh on that. He needs to put, but Giannis isn't afraid to do it. He's not afraid. If this is what I think is the best shot for me right now, I'm going to take the shot. That's what he does. I love that about him. And I think that's what helps him out later in these playoffs. He hasn't shied away from the fouls or trying to get to the line, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kenny. Like, it doesn't really faze him, right? Like, there was this one point last night where he got the ball back on the offensive end and he's below the free throw line. And I was mad because he didn't square up to look to attack, because that is a high possession shot for Giannis. Mm-hmm. He saw Portis out in the corner, dishes it out to him, they make the three. I'm like, all right, you made the right play because he made the three. But he's always thinking about others while still trying to get his stay tough, because I think something we have questioned in the past with him is his toughness, not necessarily his mental toughness, just his physical toughness. You know, how much was he willing to attack and go to the basket and get banged up going to the hole game after game after game? And I think we're seeing it finally in this postseason. He making those adjustments each game, getting better and better and realizing, like, okay, this is the most dominant. This is what I need to do for this team as a leader.
That's facts. And I mean, I know you got to handle business, but after that, I want to get back on that block real quick.
You're listening to D'Lo and Casey on ESPN 1320 KIFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, and Odyssey Station, and driven by Lashers, Elk Grove Dodge. D'Lo and Casey, Deuce and Moe here with you. Casey, go ahead. We got your opportunity, by the way, to win $1,000 coming up in 7 minutes.
So, the block, one of the greatest plays I've ever seen in my life. It was unreal seeing him recover, make that play, make it clean in that moment, all that other stuff. I was trying to figure out, not trying to be a prisoner of the moment, I feel like it's the second greatest play in the finals, the defensive play in the finals that I can remember. Now, I came up with a list. I want all three of you guys to tell me if these plays are better, right? So you got, this isn't in the finals, but I found it. It was really hard to find these great defensive plays, by the way. But Bird steals the ball underneath the DJ, 1988 Eastern Conference Finals, Game 5. Is that greater than what Giannis did, in your opinion?
I mean, I need to go back and watch that play one. It's not in the finals, so I don't know why you even included it there. I mean, I know you're trying to put this together.
Top defensive plays in playoff history. I think that's one of the great Giannis box is one of the great blocks in playoff history.
Yes, the Bird steal was pretty magical, right? And I obviously did not see that live. I was not born yet, but seeing that
I was born over the years.
Yeah, seeing that played over the years, like, yeah, obviously that was a big, big play. Giannis did something. There's certain things that, like, steals happen, right? Like, this block in the moment, the athleticism, the timing, everything that goes with it, the recovery. It's a jaw-dropping moment. We were doing a watch party last night. I put a clip of it. I was stunned. Like, I was just, did I just see that? And to think, all the great plays that we have seen in NBA history and the athleticism that we see from these guys every single night, to be watching a game and to be shocked at something, that's rare to me. And I was shocked by it last night. So that's why it's way up there. What you have on the list?
I think it's gonna be tough for you guys. Is it Damian Mode? Is that a yes? Is Giannis's block above Bird steals the ball underneath the DJ?
You know, I'm trying to look at the steal right now.
It was more of a brain lapse, I think, on, like, not to discredit it, but
it's a hell of a play.
Yes, yeah. Great hustle, great hustle play.
No, it wasn't Giannis. I'm not putting that above Giannis.
Okay.
Bronze block on splitter, Game 2, 2016 NBA Finals.
That was pretty. That was like a oh my God moment.
Yeah, that was nasty. Although, it was Thiago splitter. So, I mean, I'm downgrading it just because of that. All right. I think splitter isn't as good as DeAndre. So there's that. This is another one that kind of gets forgotten, and it might be up there with Giannis. Damian, what you think about this one? Bam's block on Jason Tatum. Sorry, Jesse. Eastern Conference Finals last year in Game 1.
Yes.
That was jaw dropping. And by the way, I just saw the LeBron on Tiago. And it's, again, great block. That Bam block, that was a game saving block.
Yeah, but he went 2 at the time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's super amazing too, because Miami went on to win the championship, right?
Oh, this guy.
No, I'm asking. I'm sorry. Like the block it, like Miami won the championship or no?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Go ahead with your list.
My
bad. Like it's a cute play. Go ahead.
Here's another one. Tayshaun Prince chases down Reggie Miller, 2004 Eastern Conference Finals.
No.
They did go to win the NBA championship.
I don't want to hear that play. Anyway, oh, my God. Tayshaun Prince, long Tayshaun Prince, chased down old man Reggie Miller. Wow. Reggie was toast.
Again, it was still a great – it's funny because I just saw that on the jump, and it was still a great block. Again, these are great blocks, and it makes it – the only block that really – when I think of these great defensive plays, is that chase down block by LeBron on Iguodala. Mm-hmm. You know, that one sticks. Were these...
And you know what's great about that, Mo? About that Iguodala play, about that LeBron James play? Who won that game?
Right.
The Cavs.
Who? Right. So it's cute to have... Like, we need to differentiate an impact play versus a highlight. Like, we need to differentiate a game. We don't know what Giannis is. Here's the sad reality.
Well, all these guys won the game.
Here's the sad reality. Giannis's block last night means nothing, and it doesn't get replayed if Phoenix wins the championship. It's lost in history.
In my life. What do you mean it means nothing?
It means nothing. What part?
It means for our fitness. It's one of the greatest plays I've ever seen in my life.
If they lose, it's inconsequential and it means nothing. It's part of a random highlight package.
They won that game, and that's why it'll live forever.
See, this is why I disagree.
Not the game, the series. Sorry, Deuce, go ahead.
It'll definitely live forever because it was such a ridiculous play. I'm not going to say it will mean nothing, but LeBron's is elevated to the next level because it was a game 7. The moment on the road, rallying back. Like, that's monster. Like, that will go down as one of LeBron's. Now, when you look at Giannis's highlight reel, that goes down. It's one of the great playoff plays we've seen, but obviously it would be elevated to that next level if the Bucks were able to close this out.
With no context, it looks like a block shot. A really cool block shot.
Are you like Skip Bayless, where you say like that was the most... What did you say? Like the most overrated block?
It's not overrated. No, it's not overrated. It's just we can't rate it yet. If the Suns win, it's LeBron's shot against Orlando. What did that shot mean? It's a cool buzzer beater. Great. You could put it in LeBron's highlights. No one knows what it is. It looks like a regular season game. It didn't lead Cleveland to a championship. Didn't even lead Cleveland to the freaking finals, for God's sakes. That was the Eastern Conference Finals that they lost.
I disagree. We've gone through the list. You can already rank this as probably the second best block we've ever seen in an NBA Finals.
If you want to break it down to blocks, that's fine.
Defensive play, I don't care.
No. I'll say this, though, like the Bam play you guys mentioned when you first mentioned it, it took me a second. And I think it takes me a second because Miami didn't win it all. And had they won it all, we'd be like, oh, my God, remember that?
Hell,
like,
I remember Horace Grant blocking Kevin Johnson on that final play after John Paxson's 3. Why? Because Chicago won.
Who could ever forget a Samuel Dalembert block from like 2009?
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Wow, Morgan didn't even dance. It's time for the Summer of Cash contest. Here's your chance to win $1,000. Text the code word THEME to 72881. That's THEME, as in Morgan appears a little angry today. That's the theme of the Deuce and Mo appearance. Text THEME to 72881. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. Remember, don't text and drive. She called me Skip Bayless.
Yeah. I just thinking about it. Think about the big plays in Kings history. Game 5, Bibby shot. Like, that's the one that is etched into our minds, like, forever.
Okay.
I'm sure it's going to win that series.
They ain't winning the championship there. So I think that Giannis play will go, like, a Bucks fan will never forget that moment.
Okay.
Imagine being for that. Like, that's how I look at it. But in terms of national, you're right. I don't think anyone nationally remembers, hey, remember Bibby shot in game five in the series?
Nobody.
But in that moment, I was 13 years old, Players Sports Bar. I'll never forget where I was.
Wait a minute. What? Moment.
Wow.
I was at Players
Sports Bar.
What are you doing at Players Sports Bar at 13 years old?
Dad was in prison. His mom didn't give a damn about him.
Yeah, my mom was probably...
bouncers at the door. What the hell is that all
Dude's
about?
Dude's paid him off.
I feel bad for him.
I'm 13 years old, right? Give him a soda. I'll watch the game. So, yeah, I mean, I'll never forget that moment. But, yeah, you talk to Joe random NBA fan, they're not going to go, yeah, man, I'll never forget the Bibby shot.
Because the series ended when Robert Horry hit the three. That was game seven overtime. That's how the story is told. That's the only play. The Bibby play is never rerun. But if – and this was the argument I was trying to make earlier. If the Bucks win this series, when this story is told, this block will magnify in history. Absolutely. It'll be bigger. You will have thought – that was the game-saving Game 7 block that Giannis Antetokounmpo's block of DeAndre Ayton won the Bucks their first championship in however long.
Nah, I think you're selling the book short.
No, it's a great play. It's a great play. It's just if the Bucks lose, I'm not going to remember it. I mean, I will, but I won't care.
I was about to say, what's wrong with you? Or are you just going to erase it from your memory?
It's just it's not going to be a big deal. It's just a play.
That was a big deal.
Charles Barkley had like a 40-point triple-double against the Bulls. Who cares?
They actually won that game.
They won the game, but who won the series?
Game three triple overtime. I definitely remember that one.
Who won the series?
My grandmother's room.
You're literally the only... There's like five sports fans who remember that. What? And four of them are on this call.
Hey, can we be fair? I feel like some sports fans remember individual performances and others remember, I guess, record. And no, you know what I mean? Like, who actually won the series? Who actually won the game? And then there's the people who just remember the performance. Like, didn't that Devin Booker 71 point game, didn't the Suns lose that game?
Yep.
I don't remember.
And see, and it's funny because there's so many people who are just going to remember that Devin Booker scored 70 points and not even remember if they won or lost that game.
That was the most overrated 70-plus game in NBA history.
Yep.
I love Booker, but not
Derek Fisher, .4. They didn't win a championship.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care about that play. I don't like Fisher.
I say .4, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That was like the second round of the Western Conference, and they didn't win a championship that year. There are moments that transcend it. And it doesn't matter. Sure.
And you think this block is it?
I do. It was one of the great defensive plays of all time.
Okay.
Hell, we talk about Bird steals the ball.
How about Havlicek? Havlicek stole the ball too, I heard.
Bird steals the ball. Havlicek won a championship. Bird steals the ball. They didn't win a championship that year. I think the Lakers beat him in 87.
You're the only one talking about Bird stealing the ball.
I'm the only one that talks about Bird.
You're the only one talking about it. Probably you, Jesse, and everybody in Boston are the only ones talking about Bird stealing the ball. Where are we? God almighty.
That's all Boston Sports Radio is talking about today is that Bird steal, just to compare to Giannis's.
Giannis's is the second greatest play next to Larry Bird. Oh, Larry legend.
Y'all need to get your NBA home video knowledge up.
Ben Simmons has been a... By the way, here's a headline. I guess I'll read this to all of us. I don't know if you guys saw it yet. It's a headline we haven't seen in a while. Yankees Red Sox postponed. Tonight's game has been postponed due to positive COVID-19 tests within the Yankees organization.
Wow.
It's 2020 all over again.
Surprise me. Well, aren't you? I don't know about you guys, but I've been seeing a lot more social media posts of people that are double vaccinated, fully vaccinated, and getting COVID.
I think Rich Eisen.
Yeah, Rich Eisen posted that today. Yep.
Because there's that new strain that's going around, and people, you know, pandemic's over, and it's like, oh, that's not how viruses work.
the pandemic has been over for a very, very long time.
COVID is gone. COVID is completely gone. Yeah. Everyone go back to doing everything that you're doing. And it's just that's the funny part. And it's not funny because, look, we are still in this and it's 2021 and they are postponing a game because of a positive COVID test.
Well, it doesn't help in Sacramento, by the way, that only 47% of Sacramento County residents have been vaccinated.
Sacramento County is sneaky.
Yeah. And one more step of the day.
Yeah, no.
90% of people that are dying of COVID did not get vaccinated. So,
to my understanding, that's kind of what the shot does, right? The shot doesn't clearly, it doesn't keep you from getting COVID, but it helps you
minimize the impact.
Yeah, like
because the harder strain
from it or something like that.
Correct. You're not going to die, basically, if you just get it.
That's the third variant that we're going to hit. That's like the 10th wave that's going to come through, where it's like, vaccine be damned, it's going to get you.
Oh, the Olympics are in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we're sending... Oh, Bradley Beal has with... I was going to say withdrawn. He hasn't been withdrawn. Bradley Beal was kicked off of Team USA. He's in health and safety protocols, and now USA is... They're scrambling to replace him, and I think they were supposed to leave today.
Wow.
Like, I think they were supposed to leave for Tokyo today. Maybe it's tomorrow, but I thought they were all leaving Las Vegas today. So
this sucks, man.
You
this
think?
Sucks. Yeah.
We're going to be in our houses forever. Well, some of us are.
So, yeah.
Not all of us. Some of us are.
Were you guys worried about Team USA? Like, to talk about sports, actually. Were you guys worried about Team USA at all?
I number one, I'm just not one of those people that's like, oh my God, Team USA, if we don't win, we need changes. I mean, it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that much to me. The rest of the world, breaking news, has gotten better at basketball.
Right.
Obviously, USA basketball should still be the best and all of that, but you could tell there's always this weird thing where the NBA guys, especially some of the new guys playing the FIBA rules, there's like an adjustment. They haven't played together for a while. I think they'll be fine, but it doesn't mean it's not going to be challenging. I think, hey, gone are the days. Like, it's not 1992 anymore. It's not the dream team.
Right.
Around the league, you see some of these teams, you go, wow, they've got a lot of NBA guys.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised at all. I'm not really worried because I don't care that much.
Yeah, not worried, but, like, at the same time, you do in so many ways because of, like, pride. You want them to get it together.
Mark, and I was rooting for Nigeria the other day. I'm going, let's go! Yes, sir!
I was rooting for Gabe Vincent.
I'm so happy
for Gabe Vincent. And, you know, but at the same time, as we go forward, I'm like, yeah, I want Team USA to win, but... I mean, if you're not going to win with some of the best players on your squad, then it's not the biggest deal in the world, but it's kind of like, you guys can't figure this out before you go to Tokyo.
Also, did you guys see Luis Scola? I saw him at the end of like an Argentina game and he was walking down the sideline. I'm like, oh, he must be coaching. That's cool. He's still playing. 41 years old. He's like ripped his hair's cut short.
I was about to say, Luis Scola looks better than he did when he was in the NBA. I mean, this guy looks like a model out there.
He's got more time to train and work out now than he did when he was in the NBA.
Yeah. Oh,
we're just vain enough to believe we're supposed to be the best at everything. And if we're not, we don't like the sport. It's like soccer.
Right.
Soccer is it's the biggest sport on the planet, except here, because we're not very good. And we don't want to root for we only want to root for something if we know we can win. So we want it. We're setting the seeds to abandon Team USA in case we lose. It'll be easier to digest. Say, told you we were going to lose.
That's a good point. What are the games that the sports that we're not very good at?
Soccer, football is one.
I mean, is hockey one? Like,
a couple years ago? I don't know. There was like USA Canada in the Winter Olympics. Like, maybe it was a little longer than that. Maybe it was like 5, 6.
Aren't we the best at like gymnastics?
Simone Biles is the best at gymnastics.
UCLA, is she gonna be in the Olympics? The one that always puts like the hip hop.
I don't know.
We could tell, by the way, we're not Olympic experts here. We're all casuals talking about this.
Okay. Watch me this week. Watch me when I break this thing down, and I've been watching.
Yeah, we're going to be experts come August 1st.
I've been watching the 4x4 for the last 40 years, and I'm going to tell you exactly where they went wrong.
We've had a swimmer to latch onto, too. Sorry, Deuce, go ahead.
No, the only moments, like, over the years in the Olympics, I mean, Phelps, you know, gymnastics was cool. And then, of course, Usain Bolt. Like,
yeah, and he's not American. He's not good at 100 meters, I guess. We don't dominate that.
I haven't been, yeah. At least not the drug-free version of the 100 meters.
400,
yeah. If we create a different race with the, you know, drug test, the non-drug tested 100 meters, we'd be up there.
We've been killing it since what's my man's name? Michael Johnson and Maurice Greene. Maurice Greene was my guy. I like Greene.
Wow, you went Green over Michael Johnson?
No, Michael is number one, but I like Mo Green. He can never beat Michael, though.
The stories about Michael Johnson are just terrible. Like, he is, like, the biggest jerk you'll ever encounter. Really? Oh, yeah. Oh, the stories about him are just awful. I have never heard anybody tell a story about a positive interaction with Michael Johnson.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer. I loved him. What was that, 96 in Atlanta? Yeah. I loved
the gold shoes. Yeah, the gold shoes.
19.62.
Okay,
is that the number?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Kenny, now you're showing off.
Kenny will never forget.
I dropped 96 Atlanta. Like, hey, that was good recall. You're dropping times now. Like, come on. Get out of here.
No one's been dreaming in your head. 19.62. That was the 200 meters, by the way.
Thanks, Kenny. Boy, that'd be a hell of a world record for the 100 meter. I might be able to break that record.
It might have been the 400. I don't know.
I might be able to break that record. Well, we have Katie Ledecky in swimming. There's still people to like attach to. Sure. And are you into, like, where do you stand on 3-on-3?
I mean, I'll check it out. I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The Olympics, like, it's always for me, like, the first week you're, like, super into it. Like, the first few days you're super into it. And then it's on all the time. You're like, hey, it's on, like, 30 billion networks. Where do you go? And it's like, well, hey, let me know the big event. And then it changes so much now with, like, social media and Twitter, where back in the day they used to tease, like, hey, coming up tonight, you'll see Michael Phelps in action. And then it's like, now we know when it happened, what happened. There's already video of it. So that I'm interested to see, like, what the ratings are like for the Olympics. I'm interested to see what it's like without fans. It's going to be weird.
Honestly,
yeah, it's going to be wild.
It is going to be wild. And I've been kind of sad seeing some stories about a lot of moms that are these athletes. Like, there's this Canadian basketball player and she's breastfeeding her baby right now. And they weren't going to let the baby come along because you can absolutely not bring pretty much anyone. And it didn't. And I just, you put that in perspective. Like, there are these just amazing women playing sports after birthing a human baby and they have to breastfeed and they're not allowed to do that and still be an athlete. It's just insane. They ended up letting the baby come with her and everything. But again, so then are you dealing with a baby on your own? Do you have your partner with you? Partner? It's just too much for me. It's like, I kind of been getting angry towards a lot of the Olympics.
There's
because of that, but
many reasons not to like the Olympics, but I like it because these athletes work their asses off to get there. I mean, obviously the whole Olympic bidding process is shady beyond belief. Mm.
Awful.
Sorry, we're pointing out negatives.
The USA basketball is the worst. Like, I mean, all of Olympics is awful, but USA basketball is terrible. And that was on full display last night in the WNBA versus Olympic All-Star game.
Man.
That was because, you know, the person who won the MVP isn't on the Olympic team because she went to Notre Dame and she didn't go to UConn. And I've said this a million times. I love Diana Taurasi to death. She has no business being on this team. Neither does Sue Bird. They're a combined age of 80. They have no business on this team. Absolutely none.
It's all bad. Yeah, Sue, and I like Sue too. She don't need it. Diana
ain't even gonna play. She's going to get her fifth medal. She deserves it. She's Diana Taurasi. She's going to get her fifth medal. Sue is doing the same thing. But they went to UConn, and Gino allows that stuff to happen because he calls the shots. And so people like Arike Ogunbowale get left off. People like Neko Ebumike get left off. People like Candace Parker get left off. It's laughable. It's laughable.
Ridiculous. Oh, that gives me chills.
Exactly. No one's ever gone. That UConn player got left off. That's a sentence that has never been uttered in USA basketball.
Wow.
Dude, this is the politics that go. It takes away the magic. And now that there is so much social media, just like you're saying, compared to when we used to watch the Olympics, it's like you just get to see the magic. You get to see this great. You don't understand what's going on behind the scenes. Oh, USA gymnastics, everything's great, right?
Exactly.
Sorry to break the news to everyone that already, we all already know the news, but it's really taken away a lot of magic for me, even though there's politics in everything, whether it's a job, Olympics, sports, it doesn't matter where it's at. It sucks. Yeah.
We all saw how the sausage was made.
Oh, yeah. Well, guys, I was wrong. It was 19.32.
Okay.
Kenny.
That's 19.62. Damn.
This was the darkest visit with Deuce and Mo. Yeah. This was a rather dark conversation.
Well, you said we weren't going to remember any of the greatest plays of all time.
I didn't say we weren't going to remember any of them. I just said they're not going to be consequential. LeBron's shot was a fantastic shot. It was completely inconsequential. It's a highlight.
That shot was forgettable regardless. Ain't nobody remembering that series, let alone that shot.
Well, that's because the series was supposed to lead to LeBron versus Kobe, and it didn't.
Yeah,
it led to Stan Van Gundy versus Kobe.
Anybody remembering LeBron losing to Ray for Austin?
Okay, that was unnecessary. Deuce and Mo, thanks for joining us. Grab some McQueen in the Violet Fog or some Luke Belair. Yeah. Or, I don't know, cheer up. I don't know what it is, but Deuce and Mo podcast available Monday through Thursday, wherever you get your podcast from. You guys get any interesting calls lately, by the way?
Interesting calls.
From humans?
Yep,
from
humans. People? Humans? No?
From humans. Oh, we're aliens going on.
All right.
Space Jam, too.
Okay. All right.
Do some more Space Jam?
Okay.
Yeah. You're trying to recruit me on that Toon Squad, you know?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.